The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Just east of 75 on Causeway Boulevard is the beautiful Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon showroom. It's one of Ira's favorite places. Regular podcast listeners know that. Right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the 2018 XT5, the beautiful crossover, $359 a month lease. Go to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com for all the details. You'll see so many other fantastic offers right now at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We appreciate them presenting all of Ira's work, along with Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, who we're going to tell you about later. And here's Ira.
How do you like them apples? Yeah.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The star of the show is Mr. Ira Kaufman, 40 years covering the NFL, the great sage of Tampa Bay sports. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. The other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com, and we are fired up for this fiery hell that is being a Bucks fan. Ira, how are you today?
Well, in the words of Joe Bucks' father, correct me if I'm wrong, when Kirk Gibson hit that home run, I can't believe what I just saw. And it's 48 hours after the debacle at Ray J, and I'm not sure I can believe what I just saw at the Kemper. 501 yards, and you lose that game and score 3 points. Thank you, Mr. Catanzaro. Thank you, Mr. Fitzpatrick. Boy, it is a whole bunch of culprits. And who's going to take the fall? The head coach. The head coach. His time's coming. 3-6, Lee. How could this be the same team that opened in the Superdome and then beat the Eagles in week two? How could this be the same team? Is it the same team? What happened?
I'm more mortified that you referred to the great Jack Buck as Joe Buck's father.
How do you like
the
that?
The nerve.
How do you like that?
The nerve.
I want to apologize to the Buck family. Jack there Buck's a Hall of Famer.
There you go. Joe Buck's father. I've never heard that before. I've heard Jack Buck's son.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Or my favorite. He deemed this his worst call, yet it may be his most famous. Going crazy, folks. Going crazy.
Lee, are you over Sunday's Sunday in the park with the Bucks?
Yeah, I'm over, and I hate to say it, but this was the culmination of what we've been watching all year. It really doesn't surprise me, although it should be the tip of the iceberg. Dirk Cutters, he was so crushed at the podium. I mean, crushed, physically, mentally crushed. He has to know he's done.
Everybody in that locker room and everybody who took the podium Sunday, Steve. From my judgment, reading body language, and who can argue? Everybody knows that it's over. Yeah. It's over. They had to win that game and possibly trigger a little mini streak against two of the scrub teams of the league. And now it doesn't matter. And now it absolutely doesn't matter. The Giants games, pick 'em. Who cares? It's another one of these terrible NFL games. Following week, John Lynch and the Niners. Who cares? Another terrible game. The only thing we know for sure, Chris Spielman will be around to break down the Bucks as he has done almost all of this season. And I'm not gonna get over this until Chris Spielman's not doing a Bucks game.
Does he do the lowest rung of the games?
He's on the D team, and then yeah. The Bucks are on the F team right now. Steve, what the heck happened in this franchise? What happened?
Well, Ira, the number one question from fans, so I'm going to throw it to you, is when does Dirk Cutter get fired? Does it happen at the end of the year? Would it happen mid-season? And if it is the end of the year, based on your feelings right now, is there something he could do that would trigger him getting fired earlier than the end of the season? So where does that stand as far as when he gets launched? Because I think we can all accept the premise that he's going to get launched, unless you disagree.
I don't think there's unanimity among the Glazer family that we absolutely should wait till the end of the season to fire Dirk Cutter.
Really?
I don't think they're all on board with that. There might be a lone voice in the wilderness that says, let's get done what has to be done and what will be done.
I think you know, I know
and,
what
and I think
about.
They're going to be outvoted, by the cooler heads. There's going to be some cooler heads, and they're going to use tradition. We've never done it before. Mm-hmm. We've always waited. I might be wrong, but I think Cutter's still going to be standing until January. And then he'll be escorted off the premises. He'll be asked to go into a meeting with the Glazers, just like Lovie Smith was asked to go into a meeting. And Lovie Smith said, nah, that's all right. And went up to his office at midnight with his wife.
Yeah.
And I believe his kid, who was on the staff, they all went up there. And each carried out a shoebox and whatever else they wanted to take. And that's probably the scenario you're going to see here. I would be surprised if there's a Week 10 canning, except for the kicker. And we'll talk about that later. But I think Cutter survives till the end of the season. But looking in his eyes, as you said, he knows he's done.
He was crushed. I can't think of a better word. He was absolutely physically, mentally, he was crushed. He knew he was done. He had come to the realization.
Yeah, whatever.
Disconsolate's a pretty good word, but that wasn't the one I was thinking of. He came to the realization, but that's a phrase. That's not a word.
Now, Steve, along these lines, hold on, Lee. I'm going to throw this back to Izbits in a different form. And I asked this question in my Monday column, and I think it's worth asking. Would the three of us be shocked if there's another El Foldo act right now till the end of the year, a la 2011?
No.
They may not win another game. Is that, Steve? Is that overreaching there? Could it happen?
I think it's overreaching for a couple of reasons. One, I'm confident that the quarterback change will prevent that. I mean, you'll have Jameis fighting tooth and nail if he gets in there. And the defense is playing a little better. So I don't think they're just going to start rolling over. I mean, it's not great, incredible defense, but they're playing a little better. Still a lot of young players. And I don't think this team is wired to El Foldo, as you call it. Maybe the last two games of the year, but I don't think for a while.
Well, nobody saw 2011 happening either, Lee. Nobody saw it coming.
Steve may have stumbled upon a landmine and didn't see it go off. Is that why Fitzpatrick is playing and not Jameis? Because everybody and their brother knows Jameis will eat nails before he'll tank a game. Whereas Fitzpatrick, I'm not saying he's tanking, but they know he's subpar. I don't know.
You're reaching on that one, Lee. You're reaching because going into even Sunday's game at 3-5, I think ownership and people that count thought that the Bucs still had a chance, some kind of crazy chance when they looked at the schedule and said, hey, maybe we can get things going. No, I wouldn't say they okay. Now I think the season's over. Now it's done. Does anybody in his right mind think this team can go 6-1 down the stretch?
No.
And end up with nine wins?
Not even 5-2.
And Steve, I've said, you know, you asked me 2 months ago, what's it going to take for Cutter to keep his job? And I said, win 9 games. Now it's not going to happen.
All right, Sage. So where's your mindset on the coaching situation here? Do you feel you have to evaluate this team more to get a sense of the type of coach it needs? Or do you feel like, you know, you got to get a GM first or let the GM pick? Or where's your head at when it comes to the next coach? Because this is what people are talking about around town. Okay, Cutter's dead man walking. You know, let me tell you this, Ira. We do our weekly Dirk Cutter confidence poll. Only 24 hours that it's up. There are 5 options. Totally confident, very confident, confident, little confidence, or no confidence. Cutter, if you combine little confidence and no confidence, he had about 84%. Fell into those two camps. Lovie Smith was never below 72 or above 72. So he's, in the fans' eyes, he's way under wherever Lovie was.
I think that's a reflection, Lee, that most fans think this is a heck of a lot better team than Lovie Smith had. And I think they're right.
Oh, yeah, they're right. I mean, Lovie Smith's team finished number one overall pick, you know. But you were talking about Cutter a little earlier about whether he may go midseason or not. I don't even know if it's a positive. The only reason I can think of, if the Glazers just said, you know, we're pulling the plug on Dirk before the end of the season, it's a public stunt. That's all there is. I mean,
that we're doing something. We're doing something.
Yeah, because, you know, fans think, and I understand why they think this, like, you got to get rid of the coach before you start your coaching search. They're looking right now. They're looking right now.
They're
now, there was
right
rumors.
Now.
I'd never be able to confirm, but there were rumors that the Glazers started their coaching search to replace Schiano in October. I have never been able to confirm that, but that's what I had heard. And obviously, we're in November, so
that was the Mercer year and the Josh Freeman year and everything.
Yeah,
one of the craziest years we've ever seen at one buck, and that says a lot.
So I would be surprised after yesterday's game. I'd be very surprised if the Glazers haven't already launched.
To answer Steve's question directly, Lee, the Glazers are not about to usurp their traditional role of selecting the head coach. That's not going to happen. It is not their habit of bringing in a very powerful, strong general manager, and then turning over the coaching search to the general manager.
Which, that, they, basi- They did that with Light, didn't they?
No, I don't believe they did. I believe everything was set up and Cutter was going to be the guy and Light can say what Light wants to say. The Glazers, in their mind, the biggest decision to make with this franchise all the time, never wavers, is the head coach. The head coach, not the general manager. The head coach. He is the guy that they look at as the symbol of the team, the representative of the team, the voice of the team. And they're not about to give the up, you know, having the final say on that. So I don't disagree with you that the search is now going on, perhaps in earnest. I think there's going to be several strong candidates. Now, Steve, about the subject of firing a coach in midseason and are there any benefits, Lee, maybe if you had a guy on the staff that you were thinking would be a credible candidate, you turn it over to him for seven games.
And Mike Smith's not here.
And I don't think that's the situation here. Steve, and I'll go a step further. I think they're going to have to go with a proven NFL coach the next time around. Proven.
I think so.
Proven. I do think so. And I think there's going to be several good candidates available in that regard.
You believe the sting of Shiano is still strong?
I do. Cutter had no experience. Lovie Smith. They're bringing back a native son, to speak. That didn't work out. They've tried everything. Steve Raheem was on the staff. They've tried everything. Now it's time to bring in a guy with a proven track record who's going to shake things up at $1. You're not going to recognize this place by next March.
Well, then let me put this to you in this way, Ira.
He's not riding yet, so it's a good thing.
Isn't it an advantage, though, if you do blow out your head coach with, let's say, 4 weeks to play, 4 games left, you blow out your head coach, then you can have public interviews and get ahead of that curve. Let's say you want to talk to as many people as possible to get some perspective and to whatever. So maybe the Glazers want to bring in a Chuck Pagano just to talk to him. And, hey, well, he's our outer circle candidate, but we want to talk to him. You can do that if you fire Dirk Cutter. If you don't fire Dirk Cutter, there are coaches who won't sit down with you until the other guy is fired.
That's true.
That's
but
an advantage.
Steve, I was thinking more about they want to talk to guys that already have jobs right now that are not going to have jobs in January, and that wouldn't change whether you fire a coach in midseason.
You know,
but
Steve,
I understand your point. Steve, expand your scope.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, expand your
Steve's
scope.
Steve's got a great point because a lot of coaches, it's like an ethical thing within the coaching circles. You don't interview
that's
for a
right.
job that's not open.
That's right.
Don't
Bill,
do it.
Unless you're Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
He's done
kind
it
of
several
verboten.
Times.
Yeah, it's kind of verboten. You don't do that.
If John Harbaugh's cut loose and the reports continue to tell us that he's in shaky ground, I don't think they're a very talented team, the Ravens. I don't think they've been particularly talented for the last 2 or 3 years. And Flacco's regressed quite a bit. I think he's one of the better coaches in this league. I'd put him between maybe 5 and 10. In this league, I'd be very interested in a John Harbaugh.
Well, I just thought of this about Harbaugh. I'm an anti-Harbaugh, and I'd love to see, his
he preaches
mentality.
Physical football.
Yeah, but I just thought of something as you were talking. I would lay money the Bucs are going to keep Jameis for another year. No one's told me that, just a guess. Well, if Flacco regressed under Harbaugh, why would you bring him in and think that he's going to help out Jameis at all?
Because overall, he's a good football coach. He wants to win in the trenches. That will help Winston. Build up both lines. That's the reputation of the Ravens. Whether they're good or bad, they beat you up.
Yeah.
They beat you up. And they've had a lot of good seasons. I remember one year they went into Foxborough, I think. They beat the hell out of Brady. Nobody does that. They did it. He's won a Super Bowl.
Them and the Giants.
I understand, vis-a-vis in particular, Winston. But Flacco won a Super Bowl. And reached a certain level, and now maybe he's beat up. Steve, he might be beaten down.
But for a missed field goal, he would have been in 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, part of the answer, I think, to your question, Ira, is, and I'm not a Joe Flacco expert, but if you're saying that they don't have a ton of talent, well, that's the number one thing that hurts quarterbacks is not having the horses around them, and they haven't exactly had that.
No, they haven't had
so
that.
So maybe that's part of it. I think any coach that comes in, and I'll use your phrase, correct me if I'm wrong, would have to have a plan for the Glazers on offense. Harbaugh can't interview and not be able to answer the question, what do you want to do with our offense? Who's your guy? What do you want to do?
Yep.
So he's got to have a plan. One guy I'm sort of rooting for, Ira, because I think he'd be fascinating. There's a lot of juice and heat under Mike McCarthy up in Green Bay.
There is.
Wanted to get your take on this. They're 4-4-1 right now, and they next two games are at Seattle and at the Vikings. And if they lose those two, maybe that knocks McCarthy out after this season. Back-to-back no playoffs. Do you like him in Tampa as an offensive guru? And what I love about him is that he's been forced to develop players because they didn't play in free agency. So he had to draft guys and know how to develop them. His staff is all about development. What do you think about that?
I feel fairly confident in saying this. Mike McCarthy's future in Green Bay, Wisconsin, is going to be determined by Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He's got that kind of clout, Lee. He's got that kind of clout.
Yeah.
This ain't Joe Flacco in Baltimore.
No.
Aaron Rodgers runs that town.
Yeah.
And Packer fans love him. And what he says goes.
Yes, yes.
And I've also said on the Mad Dog a couple of weeks ago, without Rodgers, that's a 5-11 football team. And I'm standing by that.
You're right.
They're not particularly talented. They haven't drafted particularly well. Steve's point's solid. He doesn't do the drafting necessarily.
That was
he does
Ted
the
Thompson.
Developing. If Rodgers wants McCarthy gone, he's got a problem with him, he's gone.
Yeah, you're right.
And we may have reached a stage where his voice isn't carrying in Green Bay. It happens. Maybe
Harbaugh
in Baltimore, same thing.
Yeah.
Stale. Good run. Very good run. Some people thought that was going on with Pittsburgh and Tomlin. They're not listening to Tomlin. You know me with Tomlin, Lee.
Yeah.
I think he's a good coach. And look what he's been through this year with Le'Veon Bell, and it hasn't fractured that organization. That speaks well for Tomlin. And now they're a threat. They're a legit threat. You know, James Conner looks like Le'Veon Bell over there. So anyway.
Another guy the Bucs could have drafted to run the football.
I do like McCarthy. I'd put him in the same category as Harbaugh. Proven track records with an organization, won a Super Bowl. And unlike Harbaugh, has done a good job developing his quarterback.
Well, you know what's interesting is McCarthy, one of the reasons why he's catching heat is what Steve mentioned. He hasn't been developing talent, specifically on defense. Now, you could say, well, he's an offensive guy. Well, we walk into Dirk Cutter territory. Dirk Cutter, I'm hands off the defense. I don't veto anything. McCarthy caught heck because he took so many years dragging his feet with Dom Capers. And then all these defensive backs that Ted Thompson drafted, there's only one or two that did anything. There's a reason why they drafted two or three cornerbacks early this past year, because these guys weren't developed. So it's very interesting. There's some parallels with Cutter because McCarthy doesn't do anything on defense, and, well, their defense hasn't been that good the past couple of years.
You know,
so it's
speaking
very
about that, Steve, I think one of the key factors in determining who gets the job, and, of course, here we are talking, Cutter still got the job, but, you know, we're realists on this podcast.
That's like saying we know in December it's going to snow in New Jersey.
Steve, during those job interviews that you were talking about, I think a critical factor is, you know, there's Ed Glazer sitting there, and he's looking at the guy and says, who's your defensive coordinator? Critical question. Absolutely critical. And that person, they better have a good answer. I want the next Wade Phillips. That's who I want. Not a great coach, head coach, fabulous assistant. Fabulous.
Well, you know what?
I want the next Wade Phillips.
Player personnel people worship Wade Phillips. You know why? His motto is, I don't care what kind of scheme they play. Just give me good players, and I'll figure out a way to use them. Personnel people love that. They absolutely love that because some coaches, if he can't play in my scheme, you know what I'm talking about. If he can't play in my scheme, don't draft him.
Build the scheme around your talent.
Yep.
Steve, sounds easy. A lot of teams don't do it.
Sure.
How many guys could take the defensive lineman that he has with the Rams and turn it into a three?
He's got Donald.
He's got Donald. He's got Sue. He's got that knucklehead from South St. Pete, just drafted from or traded from Jacksonville.
Dante Fowler. I think he had at least the one sack yesterday.
He had a sack yesterday and a couple of really ignorant penalties, which is why he was on the trading block. So he saved himself. At any rate, most coaches could not figure out a way to get all three of those guys on the field at the same time. Phillips can.
Sage. You know what's exciting? Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa General Manager Brian Danahy is giving you the season's best deals during the introduction reduction. The 2019s are here, so they're reducing them at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Get 2019 XT5s leased for only $369 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorescadillactampa.com. The dealer has all the details, and you know what? It's your last call to save at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa with those season's best deals. Lease 2018 Escalades, just $859 a month. So many offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. We're so pleased to present them to you, as we've been doing for years. And, of course, everything that Ira does at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, it's always great to hear from our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, all the fantastic offers cruising on down the line here in November before the year-end excitement that's always going on. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. You can start all your shopping right there. So, Ira, look, we're talking about coaches. We're doing all this stuff.
Can you imagine what Derek Brooks is going to have to tell me this week, Steve, when we bring up this forlorn football team?
You know, your Tampa 2 show on the Identity Tampa Bay and at JoeBucksFan.com twice a week, Brooks is getting so candid. It's fantastic.
It is. It's fantastic.
He is really talking about loafing all the things that you might not expect him to talk about. Really fascinating stuff. I can't wait to see what he has to say this week, especially since there's less emphasis on the game preview because nobody, like you said, who really cares about this Giants game on the X's and O's front? It's about the big picture stuff. And Brooks, you know, a lot of fans want him to be the next general manager of this football team. And Ira, do you think there's any shot of anything like that?
No, I think it would have already happened. I'm not sure he wants it. I'm not sure he wants it at this point.
Interesting.
I'm not sure all the wounds with the Glazers have healed from 2009.
Is that all it is?
It's been 10 years. I understand that, but there's still some bad feelings with the Dungy family. And the Glazers, not everything's rosy. Same might hold true to a lesser extent for Brooks. Lee, all I got to do to get Brooks going on that Identity show is mention 9 games, 1 interception. That's it. That's all it takes. He's a guy that was on a defense that returned, scored 9 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah,
not 9 picks, 9 defensive touchdowns. This team can't even get their hands on a football. Never mind that.
There was some game I was looking at. I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I was looking at the box score. That 2002 team, I think they had 3 picks in 1 game, which right now, like, my gosh, 3 picks.
Oh, 3 picks or 3 picks returned?
No, 3 picks in 1 game.
They had 30-something in that season.
Yeah.
So they had several.
In the Super Bowl, I believe.
Now, three picks in 1 game with this standard, this defensive set, it's like mind-boggling. But that was, yawn with that defense.
And Steve, tell me if I'm stretching this here, but speaking specifically about interceptions and now Duffner's the D coordinator, I don't remember them having a lot of opportunities to pick balls off. It's not like they're dropping balls. It's not like there's a 6 tip balls a game where it's up for grabs. I don't see too many opportunities.
Now, rewatching it, there was one shot that it appeared Jordan Whitehead had a chance to grab, but it never actually hit his hands. The receiver slapped it away first.
How can you not have opportunities? I don't understand.
Well, it says you're not covering guys.
there's that. There's pressuring the quarterback, which
that's
is
part of it,
inconsistent.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a lot of batted down passes or tip passes? No. There's just no energy. It's just one pick. It's hard to believe. It really is hard to believe.
Almost by accident, you should have one pick.
Yeah, and now we have coming up some quarterbacks who – we got Eli Manning likes to throw picks, and the Niners have
an inexperienced
quarterback.
I believe the NFL record is 3.
For fewest?
Fewest. Wow. And that was in a strike-shortened 9-game season.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I know we'll talk more about the Giants and Eli Manning at your next podcast, but did you hear Steve Smith on NFL Network, what he said about Eli Manning a couple weeks ago?
No.
Old Yeller.
Wow.
Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL radio, as well as ex-Bucks scout and Jets personnel guy, before yesterday's Bucks game, he predicted that the Giants will tear apart the Bucks. That simply the Bucks have no. They were talking about wins and the draft and that kind of stuff. As far as looking ahead at how many wins, he said the Bucks simply don't have anybody who can cover the Giants receivers. They just don't have anybody, and they should light it up.
If that happens, Cutter may not make it. If that happens in New York. And they blow chunks like Cincinnati. That might be it for Cutter. The Glazers might break their tradition.
Now, we're recording this Monday, and the Giants play the 49ers tonight. A battle of the Bucks' next 2 opponents, so I'll be glued to it, Sage.
And Steve, all 3 of us remember a Buck game not so long ago at the Meadowlands that ended up in a shootout. I believe Manning threw for over 500 yards.
Yeah, I remember that.
Beckham went crazy. They had another receiver that went crazy. Worst game I ever saw Aqib Talib play. He was absolutely scorched.
Oh, yeah.
Destroyed.
Who was it? Not Cruz, but who was
it? I can't remember that second receiver that had about 200 yards. And at the end of the game, what happened? That was the famous victory formation game when Tom Coughlin, lectured Greg Schiano. And that didn't look good on Schiano's. And remember Schiano's line after the game? Well, it worked for us at Rutgers. Oh, my God.
By the way, was that the same weekend Jackie Mason invited you to his apartment?
I try to forget that. I try to forget that incident.
All right.
This is an emergency broadcast. This is Lee DeCamper. Steve Isbitz could not meet us. Not the emergency broadcast system where you have a siren wailing in your ear.
This ain't an Amber Alert, is it?
No Amber Alert either.
But it's a Jameis Alert.
It's a Jameis Alert. This is emergency broadcast because we figured we had to discuss this with you, Ira. We had already recorded the original recording of your podcast for Tuesday.
But and because we like to remain fresh and relevant, here we are, Lee.
Exactly. And, of course, the news came out roughly 40 minutes after your first podcast was recorded that Jameis Winston will not be starting, and Dirk is going to stick to his guns. He's going to stick with Fitzpatrick. He says it gives him the best chance to win. Ira, your thoughts?
I am stunned. I am flabbergasted, mostly because, obviously, this organization no longer reads my columns and this podcast and takes our sage advice. I said it's a no-brainer. If Fitzpatrick loses, and I threw in, I don't care if he throws four touchdowns. I said, that means you've lost three in a row, and at that point, you got to go back to Winston. Well, not only they lose, but alas, he did not throw four touchdowns. He did not throw one touchdown. They scored three freaking points. And as a result of that, the man keeps his job. Now, I'm not blaming Ryan Fitzpatrick as the only reason they didn't show up against the Redskins. Mm-hmm. He's got company with Catanzaro and a bunch of other people. But Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't distinguish himself. Turnovers are still a problem, which you're going to elucidate on. Lee, there's seven games left. Ryan Fitzpatrick got nothing more to show, nothing more to prove. He's run his course, played, you know, better than we thought he would this season. It's time for him to step aside and let Winston take over and show everybody, including the Glazers, whether he deserves to be on this team next year. Lee, where do I have this wrong?
I don't think you have any of it wrong, unless the Glazers have already decided, A, we're bringing James back, or B, James isn't coming back. Exactly. Why would he be inactive, much less on the roster? Why would he be active? He would be inactive. That way he can't, you know, kick in that $20 million salary everybody's belly aching about by getting injured.
And if it's B, they turn the page on him, why is he on the roster?
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. But I always give Dirk benefit of the doubt. He's always treated me well. He's always treated me fair. And he's lost me at this one.
Tell me if this thought crossed your mind, as so many have in the wake of this announcement. There's so many angles to this thing. But Lee, did it cross your mind that the decision to stay with Fitzpatrick, keep Winston grounded, a healthy Winston grounded, lends a little credence to last year's report that there might be some problems between the two?
I'll say this.
Is that a stretch?
Yeah, I think so. At the NFL owners' meetings in Orlando, you know, it's very, when you get together with the coaches over a couple of drinks and the general managers, some owners, everything's off the record and, you know, people have had a couple of drinks, they're loose. I had a brief, candid conversation with Dirk, and it was about Jameis. I'm not going to share the details, of course. It wasn't anything sordid or anything bad or anything that you would, you know, nothing heinous. But we were talking about coaches. We were talking about the Rapoport that said there was friction between Cutter and Jameis. And I was telling Dirk, I was like, Dirk, I got to be honest with you. I can't think of a time when between a starting quarterback and a coach, there wasn't some sort of friction. And I cited all sorts of examples. Terry Bradshaw is the most famous. Roger Staubach. I mean, on and on. Guys are in the Hall of Fame. They didn't get along with their coach.
Phil Simms and Parcells. That was no merry-go-round.
Oh, no. They barked at each other. You would know that well. You covered them. So almost every example I could think of a good quarterback has had problems with the coach at some point. Gruden had problems with Gannon in Oakland. And Gannon was very open about that on NFL radio one time. He basically told Gruden to F off on the field.
And the guy won the MVP award.
And the guy won the MVP. Yeah. So, I mean, anyway, I you know, like I said, I want to share the details of this with Cutter, but Cutter was kind of joking and laughing and goes, you're right, Lee. And I gave him an example, and he smiled. You're absolutely right. So I don't think there was friction, but if there was, so what? That's normal in the case of the NFL. So what may have happened Cutter might be royally PO'd about Jameis, about the Uber thing. In some degree, I don't blame him because Jameis lied to the team. And when he said, no, I didn't do anything, and he comes out, yeah, I did do something. And he hid that from him. He hid the, you know, he should have told the Bucks that there was an incident with Uber, and he buried it, tried to sweep it under the rug.
But the irony is, Lee, that the suspension didn't bury the Bucks this season. It didn't bury
them. No, it did not. You're right.
So if they go out, you know, 0-3, then I think Cutter has more, you know, evidence to say, Jameis, you scuttled our season. I don't think he could say that necessarily.
What a great verb, scuttled. I heard Cutter on Sirius NFL Radio last Friday, and Cutter said something that was rather revealing to me. You know, Marvez asked him about quarterbacks. You could tell Cutter has had his fill talking about quarterbacks. It was a very jovial conversation. It was a very light conversation. And all of a sudden, Marvez talks to him about quarterbacks, and Cutter's demeanor turned to almost surly. I mean, but there was two things he said was, one of which he said, well, we had a really strange start to the season. Obviously alluding to...
Fair enough.
That was number one. Second thing he said was, which really caught my attention, his voice changed, his cadence changed. You could tell he was hacked off, and he said, I didn't ask for any of this. Whoa.
Yeah.
So I almost think this decision, almost, maybe not in full, but in part, it's getting personal with Cutter. It's getting personal. And I just think that he has washed his hands of Jameis. You know, he's basically, he was hired because of Jameis, and right now he's basically confessing, I failed with Jameis, I'm done with him. Dirk Cutter, am turning the page on him.
Now, Lee, I've been saying on this podcast, and you've been listening to me say it for a few weeks now, that I don't think the Glazers have turned the page on Jameis Winston. They're in no hurry to do so, although he has raised plenty of doubts along the way. Then we come to this decision with a 3-6 football team, who I declared yesterday the season's over, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
They're done.
Yeah.
And Cutter says this guy still gives us the best chance, and that's the overriding principle. Well, my argument is it's no longer the overriding principle. Your season's over. Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to do? And Fitzpatrick, to me, doesn't make any sense. Going forward,
there's no future.
He's not going to be the starting quarterback in 2019. I mean,
you don't think so?
I mean, I think that would be crazy.
Well, first off, is he going to be even play? He was going to retire.
Well, He's a heck of a backup.
Yeah, but I mean, he was going to retire. So nobody knows if he's going to play or not.
I think the Bucs would be a laughing stock if Fitzpatrick's your starting quarterback in 2019. I think you're a laughing stock.
They're a laughing stock right
you
now.
You know, then you know, it's like Josh McCown with the Jets. He ain't starting. Well, now he is, but Darnold took the job. You know,
and McCown was horrible on Sunday.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, they're laughing stock right now, Ira, because of how Cutter has handled this whole thing.
What a dynamic now with the Glazers, with Cutter, with Light. I'll tell you one thing, Lee, you can't argue this point. Decision to keep Winston grounded at this stage, that's not great news for Jason Light. I'm sorry. I think you'd have a hard time making a case that Jason Light's doing cartwheels over this decision.
Yeah, you wonder what his role is and all
that. He was the GM when Winston was selected.
Oh, of course.
And some people say, oh, it's all Lovey's pick. Well, if Jason Light didn't want him, he wouldn't be a Buck.
Jason wanted him bad. He was on Jason's radar since Jason was in Arizona. And Lovey did have the final say.
Certainly Lovey did want him. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, Lovey had the final say. If Lovey didn't want him, he wouldn't be there. But Jason was all in on him. There's no question about that. You know, what's Jason's role in all this? Is Cutter defying Jason? Is Cutter defying the Glazers? We don't know.
Those are the key questions.
Yeah, now, obviously, the Glazer family, they're not fond of being open in the public. They have their reasons, part of which is they're just uncomfortable. Other is they don't see the benefit of being out front. And as you once said, you know, you don't have to be Jerry Jones, where you're available 24/7 from a local beat writer. But it's getting to the point where, you know, they need to weigh in because the entire organization's being embarrassed.
They may reach out to a national scribe. They might not be quoted.
Like a Mortensen?
Yeah, like a Mortensen. And not be quoted. Somebody who knows how to handle things, mm-hmm. like me. And get their point across. And then all of a sudden you'll read a story with an unnamed source, but it'll be a good source.
Okay.
But I am flabbergasted, Lee. I thought it was a fait accompli that Winston's getting his job back. You're 3-6. This guy's healthy. Don't you want to look at him? Are you worried that he's going to get hurt? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have to pay him $21 million? I'm not buying that.
No, he wouldn't be on the roster, like you said. All right, at the very least, he wouldn't be active on game days. At the very least. Now, what's interesting, and I said this just a little bit before we started recording, I just threw it out there to you. Among the things we don't know is, did the Bucks dig up some dirt on Jameis?
Always a possibility. Always a possibility.
That nobody else knows about.
Is it possible he's not complying with some of the stipulations?
Well, that's another
one.
The
agreement.
Yes, yes. Or maybe the team laid down some requirements that they never released, never made public, and he's not doing it.
Now, Leah, I put out two tweets this afternoon after the news. The first tweet was, if the Bucks feel that Ryan Fitzpatrick is their better quarterback option at this point over a healthy Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. doesn't that tell you all you need to know? Now,
I got some good feedback.
Now, my second tweet, and you're going to like this one too, was the Bucks have never extended a long-term contract extension to a quarterback that they drafted.
Yeah, never a second.
Never
batter.
Done. Uh-huh. And I said, given today's news, I believe that streak will probably remain intact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how else are we going to read this, Lee? This is not an endorsement about Jameis Winston.
The whole organization. That's why, you know, the Glazers, you know, somebody needs to put out, like I said, if they have to go through Mortensen or you, or if they have Nelson Louise, who's the media relations, vice president of media relations, tell Nelson, put this out to your favorite people, whoever they are. This is embarrassing the entire organization. It's embarrassing the Glazers. Not just embarrassing Cutter, not just Jason, not just Jameis, but the Glazers as well. The whole looks like a circus. It looks like a complete circus, this whole thing. So the only thing I can think of, because everybody's so secretive about this, that they're covering up something bad. Now, whether that's Jameis, whether that's Cutter, whether, you know, Cutter's just said, got personal, said he's not playing for me, I give up on him, which is not good. That's bad. I don't know.
That's almost an attitude like, if you want to fire me, fire me. Almost.
And Cutter almost has that attitude, you know? He almost, you know, this is my way or the highway kind of thing.
Lee, here's a side point, Cutter's news conference. But I watched it, and somebody delved in again, why did you take the play calling away from Todd Monken for the first time this year? Of course, Monken had an offense that was averaging 28 or 29 points a game. They just scored 3 yesterday. That's not all Cutter's fault.
No,
they
not
gained
at all.
501 yards. I understand that. And he made a point, Lee, to say kind of, well, I thought we should have more balance, more running game, eat up some clock, give our defense a little more balance. Well, they threw the ball all over the field yesterday in a close game. This game was not 35-7.
Exactly.
This was not Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So the scoreboard didn't dictate, you know, 40. I think they had 67 snaps, and I think they threw on 43 of them. That's 2-1 ratio. The Skins were 50-50. Now, granted, they had the lead, but for most of the game, they had a 3-point lead.
Yeah.
So, you know, that doesn't wash that well, Lee, is that he wanted to have more balanced attack with the running game, and it wasn't like you got a big dose of Peyton Barber either.
Well, so, it's not like he has Walter Payton.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the blocking for the run game.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's nice to see you want to run the ball, but if you can't run it, you're beating your head against the wall.
This has been going on for 3 years, Lee. 3 years.
Well, I wrote a story Monday about all the running backs the Bucks have had since Lovie Smith has been here. One guy had one decent, well, you want to argue Charles Sims, okay. But one guy had one decent year out of 5 years since Lovie's been here, or since Lovie first got the job. I mean, it's a joke.
This is the year, Lee, tell me if I'm wrong, this is the year that it's the most shameful that you don't have a very good ground game, and I'll tell you why. One, you added the highest paid center in the league. That's number one. Number two, you have been healthy up front.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's going on? Look at the Redskins.
Yeah.
The Bucks have been healthy.
Yes.
Lee, Better knocks out there every week. Dotson's out there every week. Make it out what you want. But secondly, and more importantly, that this is the second thing, and just I think it's just as impactful. You got a tremendous passing game. So you can't tell me Buck opponents are coming in, we got to stop Peyton Barber. Of course not.
Well,
that's an afterthought.
And
shouldn't you be able to run the ball with people fearing your downfield passing game? It doesn't make any sense.
I think the reason why the red zone offense has stunk, one reason, the Bucks don't have a running game. It scares everybody.
I think that's a very good point.
Now, also,
the field constricts. You gotta be able to run the ball a little bit.
Now, notice that this year, and Jameis said he learned this from Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is kind of interesting. But Fitz, and to a lesser degree, Jameis, look at all the yards they took from the pocket, have taken off running up the middle. That, to me, demonstrates that teams aren't scared of their run game and that the openings were there for Fitzpatrick and Jameis
to run. And that's padding the run totals, which are bad.
Yeah.
And without Fitzpatrick and Winston running for their life, it'd be even worse.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't think of that.
Worse.
You're right. That's a great point.
All right, Pat, let's wrap up this Winston thing, Lee. We'll be out at $1 on Wednesday. Give me some of your final thoughts on this Winston thing.
Well, I got some other final thoughts besides Winston, but I just think this has turned into a complete embarrassment for everybody involved, mainly because no one will explain. No one will, you know, if you're not going to use Jameis, say so.
We're now on a week-to-week basis with your quarterback. That is never good.
Never, ever. And, you know, it's someone needs to come forward and come clean. And if Cutter really believes that, then Cutter shouldn't be hired as offensive coordinator in the NFL again. I mean, no sane person would say that Fitzpatrick's a better chance. You know, all of a sudden, turnovers are okay as long as Jameis doesn't do it. All of a sudden.
Nicely said.
Because there's a new kicker in town. Cairo Santos, Kansas City, was he with Kansas City for a while?
I believe he was.
And if I remember correctly, he was really good for
and
Kansas City.
And he got hurt. And they got another guy, Butterker, and the guy's good. He took his job.
Oh, yeah, he was not drafted, was he?
He took his job.
And he's been excellent. Your thoughts?
You know, I would have been even more stunned about, you know, than the Winston news if Catanzaro was still kicking at the Meadowlands. I mean, that can't, you know, leave Catanzaro, take the cannoli, you know, when you get to the Meadowlands. That's my line. He didn't get the job done, Lee. He's a nice kid. You know, maybe he gets another chance somewhere. He wasn't bad for the Jets. Disaster. 4 missed extra points. 4 missed field goals. We're a little more than halfway through the season. I think, above all, he was the most responsible for the loss on Sunday because of the psychological toll. You saw Ali Marpet walking off the field, Lee. You saw it. What did you see?
The jumbo.
This is the 30-yarder.
The 30-yarder in the second quarter. The Jumbotron, for reasons I don't know, decided to do a close-up, a facial close-up of Ali Marpet as he was coming up the field. He whips his helmet off, shakes his head back and forth, looked like he was muttering something, and he had the look on his face like he wanted to punch somebody. He was really upset.
And he spoke for 45 other Buccaneers on Sunday. Mm-hmm. 45. You know, it's amazingly, because if Jason Light doesn't survive, if he doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
Going in, even though he's under contract, that's not going to mean a darn thing. It's
no.
Whether they have faith in him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't survive, Lee, one of the things he's going to look back on during his 5-year tenure in Tampa, besides Winston, of course, is I couldn't find a damn kicker. A little thing like that screwed him up big time, Lee.
It may have cost the Bucs some playoffs. You think a couple years ago, it may have cost the Bucs some playoffs. Mike Tanner of the Bleacher Report is a good guy. He's a footballer. You got to meet him one of these times. Great guy. He wrote Monday morning that
Did you see him at the Combine?
I see him at the Super Bowl Media Day. Great guy. And anyway, he wrote this morning about the Bucs. He said the new staple of the Bucs offense, missed kicks.
Boy, is that's an epitaph. That's an epitaph. Lee, I'll see you on Wednesday. I want to say one more time that we appreciate the support of Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Go there. I think you will be very happy with the way that they treat you. And the deals are beyond compare. So, Lee, from beautiful Port Richey, we're signing off. We will see you listeners on Thursday.